My name's Dr. Sarah Metcalf. I'm one of the publications fellows at Australian Family Physician, and I am speaking today with Jenny Doust, who is Professor of Clinical Epidemiology at the Centre for Evidence-Based Medicine at Bond University in Queensland, as well as a practicing general practitioner. Welcome, Jenny.
Hello, Sarah.
And today we're going to be discussing the article that you've published in October's Australian Family Physician entitled Prioritising Cardiovascular Disease Prevention Therapy, Absolute Risk versus Individual Risk Factors. And this is a research article that Jenny has written with a group of other researchers. So to begin with, I might just give a little bit of background to the study. So it's been suggested by previous research that a significant proportion of Australians are at high risk of cardiovascular disease are not actually receiving adequate preventive therapy with particularly lipid lowering and blood pressure lowering medications. And most international guidelines are now advocating an absolute risk approach to stratifying patients' risk in this area rather than assessing individual cardiovascular risk factors. So, Jenny, your study aims to investigate how this absolute risk approach will affect the proportion of the population that is treated compared to the proportion who receive therapy when an individual approach is used. Just to begin, can I ask you to talk a little bit about the rationale behind using an absolute risk approach versus the individual risk factor approach?
So the reason for trying to treat people's elevated blood pressure or elevated lipid levels is because those things are risk factors for cardiovascular disease, and particularly for ischemic heart disease and for cerebrovascular disease.
Yes.
So the idea is that what you want to do is to treat the people who are at the most risk of getting those diseases. And so the way that you do that is you assess not just each individual risk factor in isolation, that you look at all of the risk factors together, and that you prioritise the treatment to those people who are at most high risk. So the most high-risk people are obviously the people who've already had an event. So someone who's already had cardiovascular disease should get treated.
Yes.
And then we classify people into low, moderate and high risk of an event. And at the moment in Australia, our guidelines say that we should treat people who are at high risk of an event, and that's classified as people who have a risk of an event greater than 15% over the next 5 years.
Right. And so for this study, Jenny, you used an existing data set from the AusDiab follow-up study. Can you briefly, I guess more broadly, explain the methods that you used to estimate the absolute risk versus individual risk factor approach?
Mm-hmm. So what we did, we took the AusDiab study, which is a very well-known study where they've taken basically a random selection of patients, so it should be quite representative of the Australian population, and
yes,
they were aged 30 years and over. And they took baseline cholesterol, renal function, glucose, and blood pressure measurements, and also measured if they had pre-existing cardiovascular disease and diabetes and smoking.
Right.
So using that data set, we could work out which of the people who currently aren't receiving treatment would be classified as having a high absolute risk using the current criteria that are available in Australia.
Right. Okay. And were there any particular exclusion criteria? And I know that there's a very good flow diagram on page 806 of the issue this month that shows us how you went about that. But I guess just briefly, what sort of things meant you didn't include people?
Mm-hmm. So what we did, first of all, we took out the patients who are not in the relevant age group. And the relevant age group, now opinions about this might vary a little bit, but we took the relevant age group to be 35 to 75. And the reason that we took that age group is because the Framingham risk equation, which is the basis for deciding absolute risk, was developed and validated in people from 35 to 75.
Right.
The current risk calculator that's available, the online calculator that's available, actually recommends that people be assessed if they're over the age of 45. In fact, the risk calculator is appropriate for use in people 35 to 45, but almost everybody will have a low risk in that age group.
Yes.
Right. So then the other things we did in this study was we took out all the patients who had pre-existing heart disease because they're already classified as high risk. And then we also took out patients who are known to be taking either a blood pressure tablet or a lipid-lowering tablet, because those people, it's you really need the pre-treatment values to assess
yes.
the absolute risk.
Yes.
So if you're trying to do it with people who are actually already on treatment, then you don't get a true assessment of what their absolute risk values would be. And the other group, which is quite important, is that we took out patients that had identified as Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander because the risk calculator doesn't seem to work appropriately in that patient group.
Okay, all right. So then you were left with an appropriate sample to work with. What were the main findings in the study?
So overall, there are about 12% of that group of patients who have elevated blood pressure, and about 27% have elevated lipid levels.
Yes.
But if you were going to look using just an absolute risk approach, only 8% of them would be treated. And this is the other kind of difficult area, is that in fact, you would only treat that 8% with either the blood pressure or the lipid-lowering drugs. And this is where there's quite a big shift in the way that we think about treating, because the way moving to an absolute risk approach means that we would not treat people at low risk with either a blood pressure or a lipid-lowering agent. And we would treat people with high risk, even if they have normal blood pressure or cholesterol values, with
yes.
treatment. So it's quite a different approach to the individual risk factor approach, where somebody who's got high blood pressure, you would treat with a blood pressure agent. Someone who's got elevated cholesterol, you'd treat with a lipid-lowering agent. This is actually saying if you've got high risk, you should be using either both of the agents, depending on
yeah.
their risk factors, or one of them, and that might be dependent a bit on patient choice and what other things they have that they need treatment with as well.
It is definitely a bit of a shift from the way we think about things currently in general. Yeah,
mm.
yep.
And partly I think it's historical, because we've actually reasonably accepted the absolute risk approach in terms of deciding who gets cholesterol-lowering tablets. But
yes.
it's been much more accepted in that side than on the blood pressure side. So it would be quite a change in approach for people to start not treating people with elevated blood pressure who are low risk, and to treat people who've got normal blood pressure but who are at high risk.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it takes a bit of change in the thinking. So what are some of the limitations for the study, Jenny?
There's a couple of things that we weren't able to do. So one of the things that we really would like to know is how many people who are currently being treated are actually people who are low risk and are therefore potentially being over-treated. And you can't do that with this data set because we don't know what the pre-treatment values were. Yeah. And I think there's definitely some ambiguities about what the guidelines actually say about which way, what the absolute risk approach means. So I guess that's still being debated, I guess, amongst the experts in the area. But I think most people are actually moving more and more towards the absolute risk approach, and that is the approach that's come out in the latest set of guidelines from the Heart Foundation and Stroke Foundation.
Yes. Okay. So, I mean, on the surface, it does sound like there are probably a group of patients who are at low or moderate risk that are being treated at the moment. But as you say, this study, because there's no pre-treatment data, can't assess that.
Yes, that's right. So we did actually do an assessment of the number of patients who are on treatment using their on-treatment values. And we did get quite a large sort of proportion that on those on treatment values seem to be being overtreated, but it's not a very reliable estimate.
What are the areas in this study that need some further clarification going forward?
So the shift from moving patients that are high risk, whether we should use their blood pressure, whether we should treat them according to their absolute risk or treat them according to their blood pressure results, is quite a big shift. And I think people will need to be convinced that not treating people with elevated blood pressure is safe, and that treating people with normal values of blood pressure but who are high risk is appropriate. There is some good evidence that's coming through on that. So, for example, in the ADVANCE trial, which was a study of patients with diabetes, patients Right. who were at high risk that were treated with blood pressure agents, even though their blood pressure was normal, had a reduction in their cardiovascular events. So I think over time that evidence will accumulate, but at the moment I think it's still quite early, and so I think that's going to take some time for that evidence to come through.
Yes, and it does bring to mind the scenario in people with chronic kidney disease, particularly due to diabetes, where the recommendation is to be on an ACE inhibitor or equivalent regardless of blood pressure.
Exactly.
If we can embrace it in that arena, then I'm sure there's hope with more evidence that we can do so for an approach to cardiovascular risk as well.
Exactly. And in fact, that's actually a good point, because a lot of patients with renal disease will be considered as being equivalent to having an existing history of cardiovascular disease, so they would be deemed as being high-risk patients. So they
yes.
should be very carefully looked at for their risk factors, such as blood pressure and cholesterol.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jenny, for taking us through the study. It's certainly a very topical and important area, with so many people in the community affected by cardiovascular disease. And many thanks for your time today.
You're welcome.